Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin Tes. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, David Buskowski's father, listener to the Shir, Menachem Ben Moshe, Olav HaShalom. All the Shalom we learn from Shnev and Aliyah from our learning, and of course, we continue to learn every day, every moment, for the safety of the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael, the Kochos HaBitochon, all the Shotrim, all the people that defend Klal Yisrael, the EMTs, the Hatzolah workers. All of them should be safe. Be'ezus Hashem, all those who need a refuah shlema should have a refuah shlema. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should release the captives. B'mheira, they should be healthy and safe. Okay, we pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Ches Omud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, Mishinasen Rishus L'shlucho L'kadish Es Bito. Again, we had this previously as well. If a person gave rishus to a shliach to go be mekadesh his daughter, father has the right to marry off his daughter when she is a ktana or when she is a nara, before she reaches the age of bagrus, and he gives the shliach the authority to go and marry off his daughter. However, simultaneously, he himself, he went himself and was mekadesh the daughter. So obviously the question is, which one came first? Both of them have the right to be mekadesh the daughter. The father never gave up the right to be mekadesh the daughter when he said the shliach go be mekadesh the daughter. But the shliach was given the rishus to go be mekadesh the daughter. So the Mishnah tells us, im shalo kodmu kidushov kidushin, and the shliach is nothing. If he was mekadesh his daughter before the shliach did, they know the times. The shliach said, okay, I was mekadesh her on Wednesday. And the father says, why was mekadesh her on Tuesday, the day before? So therefore, the kedushin that the father accepted is a valid kedushin. The daughter is married, and therefore the kedushin of the shliach can't be chal. She's already a married woman, and the kedushim of the shliach is nothing in that situation. If it was the other way around, no, it was the shliach that was mekadesh the daughter on Tuesday, and he was only mekadesh her on Wednesday, kedush of kedushin, the kedushin of the shliach is the kedushin, and the father's kedushin is null and void. You can't go and be mekadesh a married woman. What happens if they don't know the times? They don't know the dates. The shaliach said, yeah, I was a kaddisher sometimes on Tuesday afternoon. I remember. The father says, I was a kaddisher sometime on Tuesday afternoon. I don't know the exact time. The Ben Yadua, it's not clear which one of the two the kedushin was first. In that situation, we turn to Ayin Tes Omet Aleph. In that situation, Shneim Nostum Get. This woman, as Rashi tells us, the top Rashi, in Bosli, Nosli, Liacha, this woman's stuck. She's in limbo right now. If she wants to marry somebody else, or as we'll see, if she wants to marry one of these two people, she's going to need to get a get from both of these two people. We don't know which one is her real husband, which one is not her real husband. So she has to get a get from both of them. She can't live with either of them right now because maybe she's an Ashes East to the other one, and this would be adultery. So therefore, Shneim Nosim Get, both the one that the father had accepted Kedushin on behalf and the one the Shaliach had accepted Kedushin on behalf, both of them have to give the woman a get, and then she'd go marry somebody else. She's a divorced woman. She'll be a Grusha, but she's free to marry anybody, of course, but a Kohen. However, you could also do it v'imratzu echad if one of them wishes to go and marry her. So no saying get, the other one gives a get, the echad konis, and then the other one can go and marry her because mimadushach. If she's a grusha, so fine, he's marrying a grusha. If his was the real kedushin, so big deal. So the other guy gave her a get, big deal. But she already is married to him. Now, before she poured that, she would still have to get another kedusha from him because there's a chance, 50% chance that she wasn't really married to him. So he'd have to give her another kedusha again. But he's not possible to marry her. If he wishes to, the second one, after one of them gives a get, the other one, if he wishes to, could give her a get and just say that's it, or he could go, in fact, and marry her. Again, he'd have to give her another kiddush. Misha tells us almost an identical case with the woman herself. Here, the first part of the Mishnah, it was the father that made the shliach. Here, the woman herself, she's, let's say, old enough to accept Kiddushin on her own behalf. So she goes and assigns a shliach to go and accept Kiddushin on her behalf. But in this situation, she also was still looking for a shidduch, and she went and accepted a shidduch on her own behalf. So again, we look to see which one came first. Im shalah, kadmu, kiddushel, kiddushin. If she accepted the kiddushin on Tuesday, and the shliach only accepted kiddushin on Wednesday, so her kiddushin that she accepted is chal. The one from Wednesday from her shliach is absolutely not chal. She's already a married woman, and therefore it's nothing. And the other way around, im shal shlucha, kadmu. If the shliach accepted kiddushin on her behalf on Tuesday, and she accepted kiddushin on Wednesday, so then kiddushov kiddushin, the shaliach's kiddushin, achal, and her kiddushin that she accepted is null and void, because she's a married woman already, and kiddushin can't be chal. Again, if we don't know, exactly like the ratio of the Mishnah, in Yodim, we don't know which one came first. He said, okay, it was Tuesday afternoon, I don't know exactly what time, shneim nosen loget. Then, in this situation, same exact scenario as the first part of the Mishnah, each of them has to give her a get, and then she's free to marry somebody else, but again, the Ibratzu, If she wishes, she can marry the second one. Echad no sin l'get. One of them will have to give her get, and the other one will then be allowed to marry her. He'll have to go and give her a new kiddush. He doesn't have to give her a get, but he has to give a new kiddush because maybe he wasn't really the husband, the echad konis. But the second one, if he wishes to, can go and marry her. Okay, now, obvious question is, why do we need both the Reisha and the Sefer? The Gemara starts off, says, Utsricha. You need both the Reisha and the Sefer, even though they both seem to be telling us the exact same thing, that whichever one, Kedushin came first, that's the one that's Chal. And if we don't know which one came first, then you have to get a get from both of them. So why do you need both? So the Mishnah is necessary to tell us both, Utsricha. Because the Ashminon Gabi Didei, if you only told me the Reisha with the father who was sending a Shliach, and that scenario, you need a get from both of them. We're not sure. Mishum de gavra kim le biyuchsin, because the father, he's very careful to be medakdek, one could argue, to make sure that his daughter marries a yichsdik person. So therefore, in that situation, you might have thought that even though the father assigned the shaliach, you might have thought that the father says, I'm only assigning the shaliach in the situation that I can't get a man to go and marry my daughter. So I'm going to try and try and try and try, but no, I'm putting a safety valve over here. In case I'm unsuccessful, I want the shliach to also try. But my understanding is that I will be always the primary kedushin for my daughter, even if it's after his kedushin. His is on a tanai. So if I don't find kedushin for my daughter, then his kedushin will take effect. But if I find kedushin for my daughter, I'm reversing or I'm taking away the shlichus that I assigned them. That's what you might have thought. Therefore, in the ratio, you need to tell me that in that scenario, that even though the father might have had this argument, if the shliach came first, the shliach's kiddushin is chal. But you would have said, Abol Issa, by a girl, by the woman, the lo kim lo biyuchsin, she may not be so medaktik in the yuchsin, she may not care so much about the yuchsin, she just wants to get married. So I might have said, Emo, lo nehavu kiddusha kiddushin. I would say in that situation, in her scenario where she was mekadesh second, you would say, yeah, the kedushin of her shliach takes effect, and she didn't hold anything in abeyance and say, oh no, if I find somebody, then your shlichus is not going to be effective. So that's why you need the reisha. No, so then just tell me the sefer. Yashmin gabi dida, so just tell me her case, and then automatically I know the reisha. No, I might have thought, mishum de issa daika uminsua, the woman, day, this is her husband. So she is so careful, she wants to investigate and check out this guy, so she would do a better job than the shliach. So she is the one that's making this as a tanai and say, listen, if I don't find somebody, then I'm letting the shliach go and be mekadesh on my behalf. Let him say kiddushin on my behalf. But in the scenario where I find somebody, I'm making the shlichus null and void. So I would have said in that situation, it's only her. However, Avol Ihu, the father, listen, he just wants his daughter married. Emeloich Patle, he doesn't look so carefully into the yichus. One can make this argument. And therefore, you might have thought that by the father, the shliach, if he's first, automatically goes first. But by the daughter, you would say, even if the shliach was first, the daughter reserved the right to say, no, I'm only making you a shliach in case I can't find somebody. And therefore, you would have thought the din's not that way. Therefore, tzricha, you need to tell me the case both by the father making a shliach and by the daughter making a shliach. Okay, hope that was clear. Let's go weiter. Itmar. We learned the base medrash. Kitsha avia baderech. Listen to this scenario. The father was mekadesh the daughter while he was on the road. Lav davka is on the road. It doesn't make a difference where he was. That's not the critical thing. It means that they're both doing it on the same day. They just weren't around to tell each other. So the father was on the road, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, he accepted kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. And she herself, later that day, bo bayom Rashi says, she accepted kiddushin on her own behalf. Now, if this was a straight, standard, forward case, then it would be obviously the father's kedushin that was accepted on behalf of his daughter, and she is therefore married to the first guy, and her kedushin that he accepted is null and void because you can't go and accept kedushin if you're a married woman. However, here the statement that adds on one fact, v'harei hi bogeris. Now, when we go and check her out, now Rashi says bidkudna lidas im yotza me rishus ha'av liyos kedushel kedushin. If she is a Bogeris, the father no longer has the right to accept Kiddushin on her behalf. So right now, let's say at 10 in the morning, the father accepted the Kiddushin on her behalf. At 4 in the afternoon, she accepts the Kiddushin on her behalf. And right now, Vaharehi Bogeris. That's a simple way that Rashi understands it. The Tosos in the small print. So that's where the Tosos is shot him. So he brings down, he doesn't like that pshat. He brings down Rashi, Mishum de Batkua, Betoch Vav. They checked her out on the last day of, we'll see, the last day of her Nara period of time, and they found the Bible Garris. And Tosos doesn't like this. It's Eno Nira. The Lolom, Lo Simar Lebagar, Toch Vav. He says, no, you don't become a Bulgaris during the 6 months of the Nara period of time. Again, remind everybody, you're a Ktana till the age of Bas Mitzvah, till 12 and one day. Then for the next 6 months, you're considered a Nara. And then at 12 years and 6 months, you're a Bogaris. A Bogaris is totally in her own Rishus, and Nara is somewhat in the Rishus still of her father. And Ketana is fully in the Rishus of the father in terms of Kiddushin. So it turns out that Tosfos Yeshanah says that this was after the 6 month period of time that you found that she was a Bogaris. And the question is, what is her status? But we'll learn simple like Rashi, as we'll see, and the Gemara will explain. This is about the last day of her Nara period of time, when she's already expected to become a Bogaris. And now at 4 in the afternoon, Barehi Bogaris, and she's a Bogaris. So the question is, do we say that she was still already a Bogaris at 10 o'clock in the morning, or was she still a Nara at 10 o'clock in the morning? And the question therefore is, did the father have the right to go and accept Kiddushin on her behalf at 10 o'clock in the morning? It's clear that the father accepted Kiddushin in this scenario before the daughter accepted her Kiddushin. So if she's a Nara in both situations, the father clearly, his Kiddushin will take precedence because he had the right to marry her off, and his was first. But if she was a Bogaris at 10 o'clock in the morning, the father had no right to marry you off. And that is the question that we're addressing here. At 4 in the afternoon, she definitely is a Bogaris. So was she a Bogaris already at 10 in the morning? So that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar, Harehi Bogaris Lefanenu. Hey, she's a Bogaris right now. Her Chazaka is a Bogaris, and therefore we extend that Chazaka to 10 o'clock in the morning. We move back in time and say, if she's a Bogaris at 4 in the afternoon, so that's her Chazaka, that's her status. So Mistama, she is a Bogaris at 10 o'clock in the morning. Therefore, the father did not have any right to marry her off, and therefore, according to Rav, she's 100% married to the second guy, the one that she accepted Kedusha from, and the first person is not Chal at all. There's not a Chashash over here. You don't have to be concerned about that. She doesn't need to get from that guy, and she is, in fact, only married to the second guy, Vadai. Shmuel disagrees. Ushmuel Amar Chayshinon Likidushe Shneim. Shmuel says, no, listen, I understand what you're saying, Rav. Yeah, right now, maybe she was a Bulgaris, and therefore, maybe she was a Bulgaris in the morning, but we don't know that for certain. Maybe right now she's a Bulgaris, but in the morning at 10 a.m., she was, in fact, a Nara, and therefore, the Kedushin of her father were Chal. So you have to be Choshish both, and she would need a get from both of them if she wishes to go and marry somebody else. Or again, one of them gives her a get, and then the second one can go remarry her again. That would be fine as well. That's Shmuel's opinion. You have to be Choshish. Rav says you don't have to be Choshish at all for the 10 a.m. Kedushin from the father. Now, I've already given you the answer to a certain extent, but the Gemara says exactly when did this occur? Amos. If you're going to tell me, Ilema betog shisha, it was during the 6 month period of time, not the last day of the 6 month period of time, but it was sometime during the 6 month period of time between when she's bas mitzvah, 12 years old, that becomes a Nara, until she's 12 years old and 6 months when she becomes a Bogaris, Vadai. In this situation, would Rav really say that we don't have to be concerned at all about the father's Kedushin in the morning? Behar, name of Rav, Harihi Bogaris of Fanenu? Would Rav say that? No. Hashtahu de Bagra, one could certainly make the argument, like Shmuel, that only now did she become a Bogaris, and who said she was a Bogaris before that? Why do we automatically extend her Chazaka backwards? We know she was a Nara at some point in time. When she was 12 years old, she was a Nara, so she's a Nara, Nara, Nara. Now you all of a sudden you're saying, 3 months later, she's suddenly a Bogaris at 10 in the morning just because she's a Bogaris at 4 in the afternoon? Oh, listen, it's possible that she was a Bogaris then, but it's also possible she's not. There's no way Rav would totally disregard what Shmuel said. That was any time during the 6 months, other than the very last days, we'll see. Elo liachashisha. Oh, so what do they argue about if it's after the 6 months? So then why in the world would Shmuel say that we're concerned that she, the father's Kiddushin should be chal, that she was in Aradin? It's after the 6 months. But on name of Shmuel, Chayshinu, Kiddushin, Shneim, would Shmuel really think that we have to be concerned? We find her in Aradin. She's 12 years and 8 months, and this occurred. So she's definitely Bulgarian then. Would we be concerned? She was a Nara in the morning because we didn't know that for a fact. So obviously Shmuel wouldn't say that in that situation. For Amar Shmuel, Ein Bein Naras Lebagras Elo Shisha Chadosh Muvad. Everybody holds, Shmuel agrees, that there's only a 6 month period of time of Naras, that after that she automatically becomes a Bogaris. So therefore, the case argument between Rav and Shmuel can't be if it's during the first 6 months, except for the last day, as we'll see, and it can't be it's after the 6 months. In those situations, before the last day of the 6 months, Rav would be motivated to Shmuel, and after the 6 months, Shmuel would be motivated to Rav. So what do they argue about? So Gemara says, Lo tzricha, the Kaddish b'hau yoma d'mashlum shisha. As I pointed out, we're arguing the Rav, the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is only dealing with the day of the last day of the Nara period of time. It's 12 years and 6 months, and it's the very last day of her Nara period of time. Tomorrow, she's a Bogeres. And therefore, Rav Amar, on that very last day, Harihi Bogeres of Adenu, we see right now at 4 p.m. in the afternoon that she already has Simoni Bagris. So it makes good sense to say, Midahash to Bogeres, that she's a Bogeres right now, Bitsaf for Nami Bogeres. In the morning, she was also Bogeres. You go by the Chazak that she is right now. It's the last day. We know she's changing from Nara to Bogeres today. Here we see that she's changed. Tomas Tomas, she changed at 10 in the morning as well. That's Rav's opinion. Therefore, he's not choshish at all for the kedushin that the father accepted. Ushmu disagrees. Ushmu lamar hashtahu the IC simonim at 4 p.m. Now we know that she has simonim and bagris. However, before that, she retains her status of being an ara. We have to be concerned, at least, that she retains her status of being an ara. And therefore, Shmuel says yechoshesh for the kedushin of the father as well as the kedushin of the daughter. He doesn't disagree totally with Rav. He doesn't say, no, there's no way. He says, yeah, it's possible she was a bogeris at 10 in the morning. It's possible she's an ara. You have to be choshesh for both. That's the machlokes in Rav Shmuel. It's only on the last day of her nara period of time. That's the only place they have the machlokes. Before that, Rav would be motor to Shmuel. After that, Shmuel will be motor to Rav. Now, one question, Shmuel. We learned in the famous Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Mikvos, which we discussed a number of times. What happens if you find a mikvah that was expected to have been a kosher mikvah? We knew at one point it had 40 saw, and now you go measure it today, and you see it has 39.9 saw. It's less than a kosher mikvah. So, what does Shmuel do with that Mishnah? Ushmuel, Maishnah mi mikvah. That Mishnah regarding the mikvah, which we're now going to say in detail, seems to argue against Shmuel. What's that Mishnah? The Mishnah Rukwo says, Mikvah shenimdad v'nim tzachasa. We knew previously this was a perfectly kosher mikvah. We didn't state that over here in the Mishnah, but that's the assumption that we're working with. This mikvah was once measured to be 40 saw, it was a kosher mikvah. And now you go measure it again, and you see that it's chasa. It's 39.9 saw. It is not a kosher mikvah. Meaning that if you were to go and immerse yourself in it right now, or immerse Kalim in it, or immerse anything that was Tameh, it would not become tar by being put into this mikvah. That's a fact. The question is, retroactively, at what point do we say that it no longer was a kosher mikvah? So let's say, for argument's sake, on Monday we measured it and we knew that it was 40 saw. Now on Thursday we measure it and we see it's 39.9 saw. So at what point in time do we say that this mikvah went from being a kosher mikvah to being a chaser mikvah that can't be matar something? So the Mishnah tells us, kol taharos shenasu al gabov l'mafreya. Every one of the things that became tar by being immersed in this mikvah from Monday when we knew that it was 40 saw until Thursday when we knew that it's 39.9 saw, whether Bein Bishus HaYochid, Bein Bishus HaRabim, Tmeos, we have to assume the worst scenario. Normally we say, Sofek Tumi Bishus HaRabim is Tar. It's only Sofek Tumi Bishus HaYochid is Tameh. But here we have to assume the worst scenario. Wherever this mikvah was, whether Bishus HaYochid or Bishus HaRabim is irrelevant in this situation, the Mishnah tells us that everything retains its original halachic status of being Tameh. And therefore, the chazak is that it's Tameh. And therefore, unless you know for a fact that it was immersed in a kashra mikvah, you do not go and say, well, right now it's chaser, so only right now do we assume it's chaser. But you have to go back in time and assume that it was chaser all the way back until Monday, when the last time that you knew that it was, in fact, male. So all the taharas that you did from that Monday until Thursday, we have to assume, Bein Mishus Yoch, Bein Mishus Rabin, wherever the mikvah was, any taharas that you made by using this mikvah to become something that was tummy, to become tar, remains tmeos. Now, how is this a kasha on Shmuel? Because the Mishnah tells us that you take the status that we have right now, that it's chaser, and you extend it back until the last time you know that it wasn't chaser. So that's exactly like Rav. Rav says you take her status right now, she's a Bogeres, and you extend it back till the last time that you know for a fact that she was a Nara. So certainly anything on that last day of the 6 months, you extend her now known at 4 p.m. status of being a Bogeres, you extend that to earlier in the morning at 10 a.m., exactly like Rav. So the Mishnah perfectly is in accord with Rav. But Shmuel says, no, we don't extend that status back. But this Mishnah says you do extend the status back, kash on Shmuel. So Shmuel explains, no, shiny horse. The case of the mikvah is different. Why? Because the Ika Lameimah, one could argue perfectly well, one could say, Hamei Tomei Al Cheskaso, the Eimar Lo Tova, because there you have an additional factor that this utensil or person, whatever it was that went into the mikvah, was Vadai Tomei, and therefore you don't change that status of it being Vadai Tomei based upon a Sofek. Maybe the mikvah was kosher, maybe the mikvah was not kosher. So in that situation, the Eimar Lo Tova, you say that the Tvila is not a valid Tvila, but that's not the case by the woman. Her status is not something that was Vaday Nara, we don't know what her status was. And therefore, since it's the last day, it could have been that she was, in fact, a Bogeret. So therefore, it's not changing that original Chazaka. So therefore, Shmuel says you have to be Choshesh. But in the case of the Mikvah, you don't have to be Choshesh. Moreh says, no. Adar Rabba, Hamed Mikvah Cheskoso. Why don't we say the Chazaka is that the Mikvah was a Kosher Mikvah on Monday? It retains the status of being a Kosher Mikvah up until the time that you know that it's not a Kosher Mikvah. When you checked it on Thursday, it's 39.9. Only then. Then Elochosa. And therefore, leave the Chazaka that the Mikvah was a Kosher Mikvah. Mara says, no, harei chaser lefanecha. Shmuel would argue, hey, but right now you see that it is chaser. But the Gemara says, so halchanami, harei bulgaris lefanecha. But you see that the woman is a bulgaris right now, so leave that status. So it seems to still be a kasha. And Shmuel, Gemara says, no, hashta hu debagra. Because there you can say that right now it became that the woman was a bulgaris. But before at 10 in the morning, she was a bulgaris. So Gemara says, same thing with the mikvah. Hasam nami, hashta hu de chaser. You could say, on Thursday, it became chaser at 39.9 saw. But Thursday morning, it wasn't. Wednesday, it wasn't. Tuesday, it wasn't. It was perfectly molly. So, again, the kash is on Shmuel. So, the bottom line is Shmuel answers, no. Case of the mikvah, it's two against one. Whereas the case of the bulgaris, it's one against one. What do we mean? Hasam tartil reyusa. In the case of the mikvah, there are two reasons why you should say that the mikvah, in fact, wasn't molly. What are the two reasons? The first one is that, in fact, the mikvah is now chaser. And the second one is that the items were, in fact, Tomei. So you have two things against the one that, in fact, the mikvah had a chazaka, that it was kosher. So therefore, you have two against one, and therefore, tarti l'riyusa, so you follow the tarti l'riyusa, and you have to assume the worst scenario, that the mikvah wasn't malei from Monday afternoon, when the last time you checked that the mikvah was malei, so then from that point in time, the mikvah is no good, because it's two against one. But in our case, hocha chad l'riyusa. Here, there's only one factor. The woman right now is bulgaris. You don't have two factors, like in the mikvah case, where right now it's chaser, and we know for a fact that these items were tame. Here you just have one thing, that the woman, in fact, right now is a bulgaris. But lav davka, does that mean that she was a bulgaris before? And therefore, Shmuel says, this kasha from the mikvah case is not a kasha on me. I agree with the case of the mikvah, but that is nothing to do with our case over here. There was tarti l'riyusa. Here it's one against one, so to say, and therefore you have to be choshesh with both possibilities. We question Shmuel again. There's another case, it's analogous to this, where you have two barrels. So you have one barrel that you're using to go and take off Trumas and Maisis from all your other barrels. So let's say you have one barrel of Tevel, and you're going to say, listen, I don't want to have to open up every one of my other barrels and take out some Trumas and Maisis from them. I'd rather leave all the other barrels intact, and I'll just take all the Trumas and Maisis from this one barrel, then I'll give this entire one barrel to the Kohen. So that's what he does. So the Brisa says as follows, the Tanya. So he has this one barrel, we'll call it barrel number one, which he goes and says, I'm designating the amount of Trumas and Maisus from barrel number two from barrel number one, and then from barrel number three on barrel number one, and barrel number four on barrel number one, until he uses up all the wine that's in barrel number one, and then he gives that wine straight to the Kohen. So let's deal with Truma over here, keep it nice and simple. So he takes off Truma from all the other Tevel barrels from the barrel number one, which was also originally Tevel, and as he adds more and more to it from Truma, so it's the remaining part. He doesn't have to physically separate. He said that which is not Truma yet, so I'm now taking it off in barrel three, barrel four, barrel five, etc., etc. Now, this is another din you have to know, is that you're supposed to take Truma in a yofel, a yofel. And you have to take it from the same species on the same species. So wine and vinegar are considered two separate species. They're considered, one is inferior wine, and one is wine. So they're considered two separate species. And therefore, you can't take intentionally l'chatrila from vinegar on wine. Now, the wine in barrel number one is going to spoil. The question is, when did it spoil? So, the Tanya, we learn the Braisa. He's checking barrel number one on a regular basis, but not every minute. He doesn't check it out every time he goes and is mafrish from it. So, and now he goes and finds it. Let's say 3 weeks ago, it was perfectly good wine. And now, 3 weeks later, so, and now he sees that it's vinegar. But meanwhile, he had separated on this barrel that now it turned into vinegar, Truma on barrels 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, however many barrels he was mafrish, the Truma in it for. Now, at this point in time, 3 weeks later, from the last time he did check, he sees that it is vinegar. What is the halacha? So, There are a number of different ways to interpret this Mishnah. I'm going to interpret it in the simplest way. There's Rashi told us, we'll bring down, there's three different ways to interpret this Mishnah. We'll learn it for our purposes. It's the simplest way, and it makes very good sense. Kol gumiyamim vaday. The first 3 days after you check it, you can assume for a fact that it is definitely still wine. It takes 3 days for it to change from wine to vinegar. As long as you tasted it, let's say Monday, 3 weeks ago, and it was perfectly wine, so for the next 3 days, it definitely has the status of wine. So anything you mafresh in the next 3 days, vaday is a perfectly good hafrosha. Mikan va'elech sofik. But after that, you have to be concerned. It's a sofik. Maybe it already turned to vinegar. It's 3 days after that first Monday. And then from that point in time and on, maybe it already was vinegar. Maybe not. We don't know. So it's a sofik. So in that situation, all of the other barrels, there's a suffix, whether they had trumas and maisers taken from them, or they did not have truma taken from them. So mikam ve'el is suffix. Now, others also learned that the last 3 days, now you found it 3 weeks later on the Monday, that it definitely is vinegar, so it took 3 days at least for it to become vinegar, so the 3 days from then, it's also vaday that it was vinegar. And those definitely vaday need to have trumas taken from them. So any barrels that you took off in the last 3 days, so you definitely were not having truma taken from those new barrels. And therefore, they vaday are tevel, and therefore, that's an easier situation to deal with. So the first 3 days and the last 3 days, those are vaday situations. The first 3 days, vaday that was good truma. The last 3 days was vaday that it wasn't good truma. And the only time we have the machlokas is in between the first 3 days and the last 3 days, mikan va'elach, for that period of time, we're definitely dealing with a suffix, and maybe those barrels that 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 did in fact have truma taken from them, or maybe they did not. We don't know. Now, uraminon chavis amikvah. Now, why is the din here seemingly different between the case of the chavis and the mikvah? Now, why, in the case of the barrels of wine, do we say it's a vaday during the first 3 days, vaday during the last 3 days, and only in the middle is it a suffix? Whereas by the mikvah, we said the entire time that it's vaday. The Mishnah had said that vaday, you go back to the time when you last knew that it was malay, and we said from there on, it's a concern that we have to assume that all the taharos weren't becoming tar, all of them were still in their tamei status. Why is there a difference between these two dinim? So, the Amar Rabbi Chanina Masurya, so this is explained by Rabbi Chanina Masurya, and he says, who is the author, Man Tana Chavis, who is the author of this brisa that we just read about the first 3 days being vaday, the last 3 days being vaday, and the middle days all being a safek? That's Rabbi Shimon here. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And guess what? In regards to mikvah, he says the same thing. The gabi mikvah, nami sveik umashveik. He says there it's also a suffix. It's not vaday that they're tomatoes. The Tanya, as he said over there, the Braisa expands on that Mishnah in mikvahs. Kol taharu shenasu agabu mafreya, bein mishus hayoch, bein mishus harabim tomatoes. That's what we had in our Mishnah, and that's what the Tanakhama of the Braisa says, that you have to assume everything that was originally tomei is still tomei from the last moment that you knew that the mikvah was male, and anything that after that, you have to assume that it is chaser, and that all the taros, whether the Mishus HaYoch or Mishus HaRabim, are considered, in fact, Tomei. That is the opinion of the Mishnah. That's the Tanakhama of the Braisa. But here, we bring down the Rabbi Shimon Omer. However, we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa says Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishus HaRabim Taros, because we apply the rule of Sofek Tumah Mishus HaRabim, then it is tahar. So if this mikvah was found in the Rishus HaRabim, so then Rishus HaRabim Taharos, all the Taharos have the right to be assumed to be Taharim. Rishus HaYachid, then we apply the rule of Sofek Tum Rishus HaYachid, we're not sure, and therefore Tolit, we have to say over here, maybe they're Tameh, maybe they're Tahar, and therefore we have to go and leave them in a limbo status, and they'll need to go and have immersion in the mikvah, but they're not Vadai Tameh, in that you would, for example, if it was, let's say, a keli that you used, and then you put food in it, so that food, let's say it was truma, would definitely be tameh. You would have to go and burn it. But in this situation, tola, we're not sure if it's tameh or not, so you put it on the side, and you wait till it spoils. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in the wine case is the same opinion as Rabbi Shimon in the case of the mikvah. So that is consistent. Now, here's the question on Shmuel. Avol Rabbanon. What do you see? That according to the Rabbanon, Tevel Limafreya. They would argue with Rabbi Shimon in the mikvah case like they do. They're the Tanakam and the Braisa. They're the author of the Mishnah. And they would also disagree with Rabbi Shimon in the case of the barrels of wine, whether they're Tevel or not. So Avol Rabbanon, Tevel Limafreya. They would disagree with the opinion of this Braisa of the case of the wine because they disagree with Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, they would say that they're all tevel limafreya. Now, you go back right now, we know that the wine in the barrel that you were using to be mafresh on is now vinegar. So you have to go back to the last point in time when you knew that it wasn't vinegar. So therefore, you extend that status back. Like Rav said, you extend her bagra status back to the last point in time when you knew that she could be a nara, which would be before the last day of the six-month period of time. So that opinion of the Chachamim in the wine case, in the Chavis case, is exactly like Rav. Kashon Shmuel, why don't you extend the status back? So the Gemara is going to go through the same shakalatari that we did with the mikvah. So shining awesome. Shmuel would argue that it's different over there. Deikle meimar, because there you could say, hametevel al cheskoso. You leave everything the way it is. It definitely was tevel beforehand, so then don't take it out of its tevel status right now. Veimar lo niskan, and you have to assume that it wasn't niskan. Where the Gemara says, no, adirabba, hamed yayin al cheskoso. Look at the wine. The wine was definitely wine in that first barrel that you're using to be mafrish. So leave the wine in its status. Veimar lo hechmas. Did not become chometz, it didn't become vinegar. So why are you saying leave the tevel in its status, leave the wine in its status? So he says, no, because you see that it has become vinegar in front of you, it's become chometz. So he says, no, hachanami, harehi bogeres lefaneinu. So then, in that situation, you could say this kasha and shmur, but she's a bogeres in front of us. So just like the wine has become vinegar, so too she's become a bogeres. So Gemara says, no, has to do baruch. Shmur would argue that right now she became a bogeres, but before that she wasn't. And again, we would argue back, hochanami, has to do achvis. So the wine in that first barrel that you're using to be mafresh, the chumos, so now it became chametz, but beforehand it wasn't chametz. So you can argue the same thing. And Shmur would again respond, hosom tartil reusa. There are two things that make it that you should argue that it is vinegar. Number one, you find that it's vinegar right now. And number two, all of the barrels were tevel beforehand. So therefore, it's tied to l'reusa again, whereas in the case of the bogeres, it's only one. And therefore, Shmuel says that neither the case of the mikvah, neither the case of the barrels of wine, both like the opinion of the Chachamim, neither of them is a kasha on my shita. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel are okay, but let us now say, the Gemara says, Nemo Kitanoim, we turn to the Omid Beis, Ayin Tes Omid Beis, we're getting very close to the end of the Masechta, and it says over there, Mi Motzi Miyadmi. Now here we want to set up this Machlokis Tanoim is like Rabbi Shmuel, we have to know what the case is to him. And Rashi tells us in the top Rashi, this is Gemara in Bava Basra, HaKosev Nechosev Liachayim, we've had this also previously in recent times, that a person who's a Shchid Meira, he writes over all his Nechosev to somebody else. Below Shia Klum, he didn't leave anything over, which is a standard way, that if a Shchid Meira writes over all his property, it's with the understanding that if I survive this illness, then I want to get all my property back. If he doesn't leave anything for himself, if he left something for himself, then it's a regular transaction. But here, since he didn't leave anything for himself, obviously the person is not writing away all his property unless he thinks he's on his deathbed. And therefore, if he doesn't die, obviously this wasn't meant to be a real deal. It was only a deathbed deal, assuming that he dies. And the Gemara of Bava Basra tells us, the Kaimel b'shchid mira she'ein matanos matana im omad. The rule is that a Shchid Merah who gave all of his properties away, and then he, Baruch Hashem, he survives, so then everybody understands that he didn't give it away, except because he thought he was going to die. And if he doesn't die, so then his deal that he gave it away is null and void. The Gali Daitira actually tells us that it's clearly revealed, Midelo Shia, that he didn't leave anything over for himself, so this clearly is that he only gave it over, Midid the Mitzvah Smachas Mitzahaya, that he only gave it over because he thought he was going to die. However, the Mbari Haya, if this guy was a perfectly healthy guy, and he's a very generous guy, he said, I'm giving away all my money. Then his matana would be a matana. So the question here now is, V'achshav, who omer shchiv meira ha'yisi. This person gave away all his property, and right now he's well. And he says, but I was a shchiv meira at that point in time. And the people that got the present say, hey, no, you're a very healthy guy. They don't mimbari haya. So the question that we're now asking the Gemara, mi motzi miyad mi, is exactly this scenario. Do we believe the person who gave the matana that he was a shchiv meira at the time, and therefore the matana is chozer because he gave away everything? Or do we believe the people that have the property in their possession right now, and they say, no, you were a healthy person. Prove you were a shchiv meira. So that's the Gemara's question, mi motzi miyad mi. So the Gemara answers, who motzi miyadam? The shchiv meira, we'll call him the shchiv meira, that's what he says he was, he takes the properties back from them, even though they have it. Below right, he doesn't have to bring any proof. He just has to say, listen, I was the shchiv meira, and therefore the property comes back to me. He takes it without having to bring any raya. The hein ain't a motzi miyado below raya. Let's say he didn't give it to them yet. It's still in his possession, so they can't just take it from him. They would have to bring a raya that you were a healthy person at the time. We have proof that you gave it to us. That's not in doubt. Everybody agrees that that's the scenario. They have a document that he's handing it over to them. However, unless they can prove that he was a shchiv mira, so then they wouldn't take it from him. That's the opinion of Rav Yaakov. These are the words of Rav Yaakov. Now, this sounds exactly like Shmuel, that you look at things as potentially they were in his possession back then. We don't look at him being well right now and say, extend that backwards in time. We say, no, look, he was saying he was a shchiv mira, so therefore we change the status from what is right now when he's well. He's a bari right now. And we say, no, you go back and make him into a shchiv mira. That sounds exactly like Rav Yaakov's opinion is going to be like Shmuel. Rav Nosson Omer, no, I disagree with you. Rav Nosson Omer, in bari, if he's a bari right now, then he's the one that has to bring the raya. All of Lavi raya show shchiv mira, that he was a shchiv mira. That would be exactly like Rav. She's a Bulgaris right now. So you assume that she was a Bulgaris then as well. So if you're saying that you're a shchiv mira at the time that you gave the present, you have to go and bring the raya, Rav Nosson says. However, if he's still a shchiv mira right now, so then aleim lavi raya shabari hoya. Then they would have to bring the raya that he was a bari. So again, this certainly sounds like name or Rav, the Omek Rav Nosson. Rav's opinion seems to be like Rav Nosson, that you look at his status right now and you extend that backwards. So the Bulgaris right now, you extend it back. She's a Bulgaris at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, so she was a Bulgaris at 10 a.m. that morning. So Rav seems to hold like Rav Nosson. And Shmuel, the Omek Rav Yaakov, and Shmuel's opinion is like Rav Yaakov. No. You go and say that he was automatically shchiv mira, even though he's well right now. We just presume that he was a shchiv mira. So let us say that this is machlokas tanoim. So Rav and Shmuel would each say, no, I could hold like both of them. Amalek Rav, I'm not the Amri, I feel like Rav Yaakov. Don't lock me into only holding Rav Nosson. I could even hold like Rav Yaakov. Why? Because Ad kan lo kama Rav Yaakov hasam. The only reason why Rav Yaakov said in that situation that you assume that he was a shchiv mira, even though he's bari right now, is because the ikel emeimar, hamid bamanach is kasko. Because you leave the money where it is. And therefore, the money is not known to be either in the people who received the gift, or the money is still in the possession of the shchiv mira, so you leave it where we last know it to be, in the possession of the shchiv mira. Aval hocha, mineima, hamid gufo, al chazkar. So who says that her guf right now is a chazaka? That changed. So clearly, we don't have to go and say that the Bulgaris case is analogous to this case. So Rav says, I can hold like both of them. And Shmuel says also, I can hold like both of them. Don't lock me in to only holding like Rav Yaakov. Shmuel, I know the army, I feel like Rav Nosson. I can even hold like Rav Nosson. Why is that? Because I can't hold like Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson said in that situation, you see whether he's a shchiv mira right now, or you see whether he is a bari right now, because the kuli alma, because his brim came in, because the general status is that a person is presumed to be a bari, unless you know for a fact that he's a shchiv mira. And therefore, only in that situation, man de komafik nafshe me chazaka, the one who wants to show that it's not the normal chazaka, having a leili suya raya. So he wants to say he's a shchiv mira, so he has to prove that he was a shchiv mira. But here, by the Bulgaris case, avalhocha, mi komafko nafsho me chazaka de kameh, who says she's removing herself from the earlier chazaka? That isn't the Dali Chazaka on the last day of the 6 months of the year. Then everybody knows she's going to become a Bulgaris today, it's just a question of when. And therefore, both Rav and Shmuel say this isn't Neimo Ketanoi. Each of them claims. Rav says I can hold like both of them, and Shmuel says I can hold like both of them. Try again. Neimo Kahani Tanoi. Now here it seems almost befarish that these two Tanoim that we're about to bring now are the exact machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Cases as follows. The Braisa says, Kitsho Avia Baderech V'Kitsho Atzmo Ir. We had this Braisa previously, that if the father went and was Mekadisher on the road, that's why they're just not together. It didn't have to be on the road. They're just not together. So he was Mekadisher at 10 in the morning, and he didn't tell her. And she was Makadish herself at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, V'kitsha Atzma Ba'ir. And she accepted her Kedushin while she was in the city at later that day, that very day. So the father, clearly, his Kedushin was accepted first, and the question is, Vahri Bulgaris. But now we see that she's a Bulgaris. Oh, this is exactly our case of Rav and Shmuel. Now, Tana Chada, Harei Bulgaris Lefanenu. One of the Tanoim in this Brisa says, the Tanakama says, she is, in fact, a Bulgaris. And therefore, right now she's a Bulgaris, and extended back, exactly like Rav. And the Tanya, Idach, and another Braisa, another Tanoic opinion, says, Chayshinan likidush ishneim, exactly like Shmuel. So, my love, Chad kirav v'chad kishmuel. So we have a Braisa saying exactly like Rav, and a Braisa saying exactly like Shmuel. So let us say that this is the Machlokas. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily so. Lo, idividi kishmuel, both of them hold like Shmuel. But what's the difference between the two Braises? Kan b'machachashto, kan b'she'ein machachashto. You know what we're dealing with? Does anybody disagree? So in the case of the Braisa that says, in the first Braisa, that she was a Bulgaris in the morning, that's because she says, I saw the Simoni Bagris on myself at 10 in the morning. So therefore, I know for a fact that you're wrong. So in that scenario, that's the first Braisa that goes and says that we aren't choshesh for the fact that she was a Nara. She says, I was a Bulgaris, and therefore she is believed, and therefore the Kedushin of the father are nothing. And in fact, we say that she's a Bulgaris now. She was a Bulgaris at 10 in the morning, because we have proof that she's a Bulgaris right now. So she is mechache, she's arguing on the father. Where in the second Braisa, she says, I don't know what my status was in the morning. I didn't see any Simoni Bagris. So therefore, in the second case, we have to be choshesh. In the Tanya Idach, Chayshina L'Kiddush Eshneim, because in that situation, we are choshesh that maybe she wasn't a Bulgaris in the morning. Now, the Gemara says, V'neima midimas nisa lo plige, Amaroi nami lo plige. Wait a second, now that you've come up this way to be Mataris and two Braises, maybe in fact Rav and Shmuel also aren't arguing. Maybe Rav says, only in a scenario where she is mechacheshim do we say that she is in fact a Bulgaris in the morning at 10 a.m., and therefore the Kedushin of the father is nothing. And Shmuel says, I agree with you. If she's mechachesh, then in fact she is a Bulgaris in the morning. If she's not mechachesh, Rav agrees to me that we have to be chayshinon likidush eshteim. So just like you're pointing out that the Braises don't necessarily argue with each other, maybe Rav and Shmuel don't argue with each other. Shmuel says, that's not true. But Tisbar, you really think that that's the case, that Rabbi Shmuel aren't arguing? How would you explain the following story? Rav Yosef, Berei de Rav Menashe Midvil. Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rav Menashe, who came from the city of Devil, Ovad Uvda Kavasi de Rav. He, in fact, passed in exactly this case like Rav. There was a girl that had accepted her father Kedushin on her behalf at 10 a.m. in the morning on the last day of the 6 months of a narrow period of time, and she had accepted Kedushin 4 in the afternoon, and he passed in like Rav that we don't have to be choshish at all for the father's Kedushin, and clearly, Shmuel was not happy with this. The Ikbit Shmuel, Shmuel was unhappy that Rav Yosef prayed the Rav Menashe Mitavil, possibly exactly like Rav. Now, if there was no machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, he obviously wouldn't have been upset. The Omar, Kuli Amor, Kailele Bekabazuta. Every time a Chochmah in the world got a certain measure, a small measure of Chochmah. And this guy, this Rav Yosef prayed the Rav Menashe Mitavil, he got a large portion. Behind the Rabbanon, Kailele Bekabarabba. In other words, he was upset, as Rashi points out, he was upset that Rav Yosef, so to say, interposed himself between this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, and he paskin over here like Rav. He said, no, we don't have to be choshish at all for Shmuel's opinion. Oh, this guy's so smart, he is able to solve all the problems. So, in other words, Shmuel was upset that he paskin like Rav. So, v'yitzok edaitach lo plige. Now, if you tell me that Rav and Shmuel, in fact, are like the two Braises, they don't argue with each other, so then I'm ayin komakbit, then why would he makbit at this guy? It must have been a case where there was a hachosha, and therefore, even Shmuel would pass like that. So what do you see? Dilma, ki avad uvda machashto. If you're telling me that there's no machlos in Rav Shmuel, so then why was he upset at him? Because you could argue that that was the case where the woman said, no, I definitely was a Bulgaris at 10 in the morning. So obviously, from the fact that Shmuel is upset with him, Shmuel doesn't hold like that, and therefore there is a machlos between Rav Shmuel. You can't answer it the way we answer the prices. Bottom line, how do we paskin? Tosus points out that normally we paskin by Yisur like Rav. So why does that have to tell us over here that we impact Paskin like Rav, as we'll ultimately say? And Tosus points out, because there are some opinions, I'm a rhyme, that say we Paskin like Shmuel here, so therefore we have to reassert the normal rule that we Paskin like Rav by Isura, and we Paskin like Shmuel by Dinim. And here, this is Isura, so therefore we Paskin like Rav. And that's because we have this opinion that says we should Paskin like Shmuel over here, so Rav Ashi Amar Hilchus HaKavasi the Rav, but Rav Ashi himself said that Loch is like Rav, and therefore the Gemara has to conclude and tell us V'Hilchus HaKavasi the Rav. Here we have to tell us that the Loch is like Rav, because again, as Tosus points out, there was an opinion that said that Halacha is like Shmuel. Okay, we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mishi Yotzuhu V'Yishtol Dina Sayang. If a man went out with his wife on an overseas trip, Uvahu V'Yishto Vanav, and he returns a couple of years later, sometime later on, with his wife and now with children. So, the Omer, and he states, Isha Shiyotzos Imi L'Mdina Sayang Harizu. The woman that went out with me, my wife, who went out with me, this is her. We're a couple of years older, and this is my wife. And she was checked out beforehand for yichus. Let's say, for example, this person was a kohen, so his wife was already established to be a yichustik woman, so you don't have to go check her out again. The elu baneh, and he says, these are her children. And as the Gemara will explain, the children are attached to her. It's clear that this is their mother. They're little children, and this is their mother. So, ain sarich lohavi raya, lo alo isha, lo alo bottom. In this situation, he doesn't have to bring proof again of the yichustik status of the woman. We assume that this was his original wife, even though she may have changed a little bit in appearance, but that's pretty obvious that that was his wife. And since the children are attached to her, And then in this situation, there is no doubt that these are her children, so therefore they're the miyuchas dik as well, and therefore no additional rayas need to be brought in this situation. However, if we're dealing with the situation of Meisa, that in fact the wife died, the Elu Banet, and he states, but these are her children, so then he doesn't have to bring a raya about his wife, but he has to bring a raya that these are the children. So maybe raya labanim, he'll have to prove that these are his children. There's no way to attest that they're attached to the mother. Nebuch, the mother is dead. So he has to bring proof that these were in fact the children of that woman, his wife. However, once that is established, he doesn't have to re-establish the fact that she was a miyuchastik. They know maybe raya ala isha. He doesn't have to go and re-bring proof that his wife was a miyuchastik lady, but he has to prove that these are her children. Once he proves that these are their children, so then those children will have the same miyuchastik status as the mother. Then he states, isha nosasi bedina sayam. If a person comes and says, listen, I was single when I went to the bedina sayam, but I'm now married, and this is my wife. Hare hizu, this is the woman that I married in bedina sayam, and these are her children. So in this situation, we don't know the status of his wife, that she's a miyuchastik lady, so he has to bring proof. Maybe raya aloisha, like we learned previously. You have to go check out to the four mothers, the 12, the 16, however many. We said you have to go back and check to prove that she's a miyuchastik woman. But once you've established that she's a miyuchastik woman, so since the children are clearly her children, they're attached to her, the young children, and they're attached to their mother, he doesn't have to, in this situation, bring any proof that these are, in fact, his children. Last case of the Mishnah, Meisa ve'elu b'nei. If he says, I was married in the Medina Sayam, and unfortunately my wife passed away, but these are our children, so now we have no proof about his wife, and we have no proof that these are her children because they're not attached to her, because she's Nebuch is dead. So this situation, in order to prove that they're miyuchastik, number one, Sarach Levi Raya Aloisha. He has to bring proof that his wife, who was the mother of these children, she had a yichastika status, and then he has to prove that these are her children, Valabanim, because in this situation, we have no way of knowing that they are, number one, from that woman, and number two, that that woman was a yichastika woman. Mar starts off and says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, v'chulam b'kruchen acharya. As I've already explained, Rabba Rav Huna says that we're dealing here where the children are obviously attached to the mother, and therefore, once you've established the status of the mother, you don't have to go and reestablish the status for the children because they're clearly her children. And the Brisa says the same thing that which Rabba bar Rav Huna just told us. Tana Rabbanan, Isha nosasi b'nina sayam. The man says, I married this woman in the b'nina sayam. All he has to do in that situation is maybe raya alo isha vein sorot lo viraya alo bonim. In that situation, he just has to prove that the wife is a miyuchastik woman, and then the children who are clearly attached to her, so he doesn't have to bring an additional raya that they're her children. They're clearly her children because they're little kids and they're attached to their mother. And that's what the Brisa says. However, or maybe raya like dolim, the older adults that aren't so, the older children aren't so clear that they're her children because they're not needing their mother, they're not clinging to their mother. So those older children, he has to bring proof that they are, in fact, her children. They ain't sort of lovey right all the time, but the young ones that are attached to their mother, they're holding on and clinging to the mother, so clearly that is their mother. So once he proves that the mother's miyuchastik, those children, the little ones, are miyuchastik as well. But for the older children, it's not so clear that that's their mother, so he has to bring a raya that they are the children of her, and once you establish that she's miyuchastik, then the older children are miyuchastik as well. Now, by Medvar Mamurim, when are we discussing this? The Brisa says, that's B'isha Achas. A man has only one wife. However, in those days, they were allowed to have more than one wife. Avol B'shtei Nash, if the man had taken two wives, so then, if he says that one of the wives had passed away, so maybe these children are just stepchildren, but they have a closeness to their stepmother because they're all raised together. So maybe Rael Isha and V'yal HaBonim Alagdolu V'alaktanim. In this situation, where they're not clearly the children of the mother, we can't establish that because even though they're clinging to her, that's the stepmother. So therefore, there's no way of proving that they're the children of the original mother. In this situation, you would have to go and bring proof both to the mother that you're saying is their mother, that she's miyuchastik, and then that these are the children of that mother, because the fact that they're clinging to the stepmother doesn't prove anything. So that's what the Brisa corroborates, that which the way we explained, Rabba bar Rav Huna explained our Mishnah, and the way I said the Mishnah. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. I just would mention that the Mishnah Yomis actually finishes today. Today is the last day of the Seder Moed. And for those that do the Daf Yomi and always looking for ways to chazer, this is a wonderful way to chazer. I know the people that are listening to this may already be a few days behind it. They're listening to this at the right time, but it's not so hard to go and catch up. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October 24th, the Tes Cheshvan is the day that the Mishnah Yomis starts Yevamos, which starts of Seder Nashim. So this is a great way. We're finishing, Mirtz Hashem, in a very short time, we're going to be finishing Seder Nashim in the Gemara. What a great way to chaz it would be to start Seder Nashim in the Mishnayis. The Mishnayomis is two Mishnayis every day. What a wonderful way, and what an additional way to bring learning into Klai Yisrael, which will be an additional protection for all of Klai Yisrael. We learn and daven every day that everybody in Eretz Yisrael should be safe. Have a great day.